Okay, I'd like to start my talk by thinking about the second verse of those two Beatitudes, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. So as I said in my introduction, we are all children of God. If we put our faith in Jesus, then that's what we are. So what is this verse actually saying to us? I think it's asking us if people call us children of God. Because if you look, it says they will be called children of God. Are we called children of God? I think maybe that verse, that word, is the key to understanding this verse. If we live our lives as peacemakers, people will see something of the Father in our lives. They'll see something of us, of Him reflected in us. So what is it to be a peacemaker? What would we say makes for us being peacemakers? Seem to me there's two main ways that we can be peacemakers. We can help others to make peace with one another. We can stand between two parties that have a disagreement. And I think that includes God, actually. I think we can stand as intermediaries between people who have fallen out with God or who have not got a faith in God, that they're kind of at war too. I think we can be that intermediary. Then there's the other situation where actually it's me, it's you, that's in this place of conflict. And we are actually one of the parties in this argument. But we can actually be actively trying to make peace, despite the fact that we're part of that. Being reasonable, even friendly, and doing everything we can to remain at peace with God, and therefore with the other people, as it may be within that conflict situation. So first of all, a question I'd like to ask is, are you willing to be an intermediary? You know? I know at times I'm not. I'm like, oh no, I wouldn't like to interfere in somebody else's life. You know, that's kind of between them. I'm not going to step into the middle of that discussion. No, I'll leave their problems to them. I think that sounds a very unsafe thing to do, to, you know, sort of get involved in something that maybe has very little to do with me. But I think actually God does call us to listen. And maybe to help people to see both sides of an argument a little bit more. Because that's very often the problem, isn't it? When people get into conflict, it's often because, one person's here, another person's there, and they have such a different perspective, they can't see that maybe there is a little bit even of a little bit of truth in what the other person is saying. And we need to be perhaps in that position as peacemakers where we can help out there. And I think this is also true for those who blame God for the bad things that happen in their lives. You know, we need to be able to come alongside them to understand that actually sometimes that can seem incredibly true. You know, why did God not step in and sort this out? It's a reasonable question. And actually, to some degree, perhaps, you know, with our life experiences, we can agree with them to a degree, to at least a bit, you know. But we also need to bring an understanding of the fallenness of this world and how some things are, you know, part of the fallen nature of the world in which we live. And the bad things do actually happen to everyone. It is the way of the world. not, I may say, to belittle their suffering. You know, we've got to be really careful that that's not what we land up doing. But just to bring some perspective into the situation. I think, you know, God is unimaginably great and has immensely broad shoulders. If people want to blame him, sometimes that's actually quite a good starting point for finding the real truth of the matter. He can take the blame without it hurting him, but in the end, we all need to reach the point where we understand that actually that's not the reality of the situation. The thing is, if there's nobody to stand between God and somebody who feels very hurt by their lives, then they'll be unable, in all probability, to find a way back to God or to God for the first time to find salvation in their lives unless they have somebody to act as that intermediary, to be that peacemaker. So we are actually all called to be peacemakers, to be do it gently, sensitively, and of course, probably most important of all, to do it prayerfully, so we are actually being influenced by the Spirit of God. Even within the church, people get hurt and become angry. And perhaps in some ways, that's more so within the church because we expect more from each other. And it feels very weird when hurt is dished out within the fellowship. That's why it's everybody's job to look after each other. And if you recall, we had that series on pastoral care where we came to the conclusion that actually we're all pastoring each other. We're all looking out for each other. We're all being peacemakers some way or another. Because you know what? We are all children of God. And therefore, we're all called to be peacemakers. And it's so easy to get some things out of perspective. We need to just stand alongside each other and help. Help to bring a different point of view. Somebody said, I'm not really sure I'm getting very much out of worship services. And, you know, I agreed with them that at times in life, our spiritual lives can become very dry. And affirmed that for me, I was finding worship really uplifting, sometimes challenging, very hope-filled. And I reminded that person that there are times when actually we come with expectations which can't be fulfilled. But really what we need to be doing when we come to worship is to come and serve God with our sacrifice of praise. And that maybe can just change how things are. Change how they feel about stuff when they come with a different attitude. As peacemakers, we are called to agree with people, to stand beside people as much as we can, but sometimes to bring a gentle challenge too. But then, what about when we find ourselves in a position where we are in conflict with other people? I've had quite a lot of this recently at work, both defending my practice against other people and a little bit within the business as well. But I've learned that it's vital to remain calm, to try hard not to give offense. That doesn't mean not saying it as it is, but not to give offense. And whatever people say, to forgive moment by moment, to not allow anything to get under my skin. And not to let the conflict become any more intense. To try and see things from other people's perspectives so that you can kind of stand beside them in the discussion and not opposite them. and also to be prayerful, as I mentioned before, the wonder of being able to enlist my lovely brothers and sisters' prayers into that situation. It can't be underestimated. Being a peacemaker doesn't necessarily mean that I should agree with something that isn't right. That's not what it is. But it does mean thinking about ways of easing onto the middle ground. A meeting might end unresolved, but then I think, you know, we have this wonderful gift of forgiveness that God has applied to us, so we must apply it too. And to allow forgiveness to wash over the situation so that it doesn't harm us and so that we can remain in good terms with the people with whom we've been perhaps arguing. It's almost as though, from my perspective, nothing has happened, nothing bad, because forgiveness has been poured into that situation and left me free to be friendly and normal. It's not easy. In fact, it's not possible without the grace of God. We live in a fallen world. We're called to conduct ourselves quite differently from that fallen world. We're not called to roll over and be trampled upon, but to stand firm gently. To stand firm with understanding. And with a degree of humility as well. Not something that comes that naturally to me, I fear. But it's so important that we are the peacemakers. Then we'll be called children of God to be affirmed for what we are. Because that is actually who we are. We are children of God. Absolutely nothing can stop us. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to just sing prayerfully. I think maybe we should still stand to sing, because I think this is a pause moment between the two verses of the Beatitudes. But just before they start playing, let me just pray. Lord, I just ask that by the power of your Spirit living in our lives, you would help us to be the peacemakers that you call us to be. And then we can be called sons and daughters of the living God, children of God. So God, we pray for your enabling power, because we know we can't do this by ourselves. Come, Lord Jesus, infect us with your love for all men and women in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a very challenging song, that, I think. Very much asking the impossible. Be my everything. I'll never achieve it in this lifetime, but getting closer would be good. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I wonder if you thought that my 1 Kings 19 reading seemed a bit odd in conjunction with the Beatitudes. Here we are, we find Elijah out on the mountain, alone. He's seen God do some of the most extraordinary things, wonderful things. But now he feels crushed. He feels somehow defeated. In a way, he's showing some pretty obvious signs of depression. Almost like manic depression, you know, the massive highs to the terrible lows. But God comes to him in this time of utter exhaustion. I think we probably all know what this is like to some degree, perhaps not as extreme as Elijah. Maybe you've used every little bit of energy to do what you knew was right. And now you feel absolutely spent. There's nothing left. For me, I can almost feel the adrenaline drop out of my body, and I just feel like there's absolutely nothing left to give. I'm so tired, I could almost cry. In fact, maybe sometimes I just do. And in this place of what seems like despair, God meets with Elijah. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. I don't know if you have a picture in your head. If you do, it's probably from Sunday school or something like that. And so he meets with God. But not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the gentle whisper. Gentle whisper. And I think that's so often the case for God's people. You know, we want God to come along and just sort of grab us by the scruff of the neck and give us a good shaking and shout at us, you know, come on, Colin, get your act together. But he doesn't. It's that gentle whisper. It can almost seem like God never spoke. He never said anything. But he does. In the word from the sermon, in a verse from the Bible, maybe from a bee investigating a flower. I don't know what it is for you. Or it could be the kindness of a stranger. Or the kindness of a loved one. But God is always speaking to us. There's little things that he's using to reach out and touch us. And that whisper, we have the opportunity to see God. Yeah, it's not something visual. Actually, I don't think it suggests in this Elijah Bible verse that he did see God. Seeing God is something different. It's something quite mysterious. But he heard the whisper. But then I say to myself, when am I ever pure in heart? There's so much sin, so much selfishness, so much neglect built into my very being. How can I ever be pure? Well, obviously never. And you know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Because it's never going to be under my own steam that I'm going to be pure. It's a gift from God. It can only come from God. It's given to us as we seek his forgiveness and receive it wholeheartedly. In fact, God is so merciful. Actually, you know, sometimes he speaks to us when we are really not in a good place, when we're not as pure as we might be. But that's God, you know, that is just how he comes. He is so keen on reaching out and touching us, giving us that moment of reassurance. We can't expect to hear from God or to see him without purity, but actually, truth is, he doesn't obey his own rules. But when we come to seek him, his gift of grace, his unreasonable love, then we are ready to perhaps hear something of that whisper. And we're each blessed with hearing from God in our own ways. He respects us and he deals with us as we're able to take it, as we're able to accept it. He doesn't impose himself on us, but he whispers gently the words of salvation, the words of healing and security of his presence in the good times, and I find particularly in the bad times. And we are reassured that when the time comes for our life on this earth to end, just as it has recently for Edna, for Eddie, and for Barbara, then we'll be made pure by the salvation which is purchased by the living God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we will see God. Hallelujah. God bless those three old people who are young again in the presence of the living God. Eternity awaits. But God reveals himself long before that, just as he did to Elijah, in such an unexpected way, in his time of need. My friends, let's keep living in the purity of our God-given salvation and listen attentively for God's whisper as the Holy Spirit touches our hearts, as he touches your mind, your soul, with his revelation that's just for you, or maybe just for the person sitting beside you, the person who's in trouble, the person who you need to help as the peacemaker. And if that word is for them, do not hold it back, but gently whisper it into their lives. Perhaps this thought is for you. You know, sometimes we're too reticent. Something comes to us, we need to give it over to that person. But it can just be a whisper. And when you find that actually that was exactly what they needed to hear, because God knew their heart better than you did, be bold. Let them know where that word came from. It wasn't from your wisdom. It was from the living God. God is in the business of being our friend. That's why he went to the cross. And that is why he rose again and sent his Holy Spirit upon all of us, so that we would see him. Not with our eyes, not with our ears will we hear it, but just with those tiny whispers, those touches, those ideas that come from him to us. Let's not be reticent in listening. As you read the Word of God, as you listen to the prayers, whatever the situation, the band are going to come back, and I'm just going to read the story, the first two verses of that story from Elijah again, in 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came the gentle whisper." So listen out for the God who whispers gently into your life to affirm and strengthen and assure and uphold you. Let's pray for a moment. Living God, we pray that you will continue to speak to us and that we will reach out and hear that whispered word and use it in the way that you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.